Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Video Store Podcast. My name is Nick, and I like movies. Thank you again for joining us as we visit the local video store in NEPA, aka my entertainment room, where we select a movie from the collection, watch it, and then talk about it. On certain occasions, I will be joined by a guest, fellow movie fan who may or may not have seen this movie before. From there, we'll give our review about the movie we saw, what we liked, and what we didn't, with little information about the film, its stars, director, and other fun facts. This podcast will release a new episode throughout the month with a new film to discuss. With our reviews and thoughts on the films, I hope they will entice you to watch the movie for yourself, and then you can form your own opinions about the movie from there. Welcome back, everybody. Another glorious day in the month of October. Currently, right now, it is October 14th. We're winding down to Halloween, All Hallows Eve, where all the spookies and all the ghosts and goblins come out to celebrate the special day. Of course, in the month of October, what better way to celebrate it in the world of movies than to talk about some horror movies or some thrillers, some movies of that genre. So today in the video store, I'm going to browse the horror section to see what piques my interest. So let's see, what do we have available? I'm feeling an anthology film this time. Now, back in the day, there were a bunch of anthology films. Today, not so many. There's not too many anthology films out there. But back in the day, there were a bunch of anthology shows, which turned into movies. Now, the movie I've come across is called Tales from the Dark Side. Now, great, great film here. There are two other movies that fall under this anthology genre. You have the Twilight Zone movie, and you have Creepshow. Now, both of these are based on TV shows, and then they made their way to the big screen. Now, with this anthology one in particular, Tales from the Dark Side, there are three specific movies that are in this film, plus a filler of like a backstory that fills between the movies. This is out of the three of them, this has the lowest amount of movies in it. Twilight Zone has four stories in it, and the Creepshow has five stories. So you go all the way from five down to three movies. But these stories nonetheless are very interesting and awesome. A lot of these are practical effects, so it shows in the final product. This movie came out in 1990. The total runtime is 93 minutes. It falls under the R rating. It's a Paramount Pictures production. Very, very interesting film. I will say that this has a lot of great actors in it. One notable actor that you can remember and you recognize is Steve Buscemi. Steve Buscemi's in it. You also have Christian Slater, Julianne Moore, and many, many others we'll be talking about. We'll be jumping into brief descriptions of all three stories that appear in this movie and the segue parts that go in between. The director is John Harrison and screenwriter George A. Romero. So you definitely know with Romero involved with this, it's going to be a great, great film. Now, the way this story all ties together is the little sub-filler that goes in between each story. And it follows this young paperboy who's been abducted by a witch. Now, the witch is planning to eat the child. So she's in the kitchen. She just returns from grocery shopping, getting all the supplies she needs for her feast. And as she's in her kitchen, it segues over to a little corner of the kitchen where it's like a cage that the kid is sitting in. And the kid's pleading for his life to let him go, but the witch will not be deterred. So the boy comes up with an idea of reading the witch a story. So the three stories that are in the movie are the first one's called Lot 249. That's the one with Steve Buscemi in it. Then we go over to a movie called The Cat from Hell. And then finally, the last story that gets told in this film is called Lover's Vow. All three interesting, interesting stories. Now, the main purpose of the kid reading the stories to the witch is to distract her so that she will not kill the boy and eat him. Now, with the first story, Lot 249, it follows Steve Buscemi, who is a college student and a very vengeful college student. What happens is, while he's at school, he's the top of his class. You know, he wants to get all the highest grades. And then it comes to a point where he's studying archaeology and ancient history. And by some way, he comes comes to purchasing a mummy, an actual mummy, from one of his vendors that he has. Now, what's going to happen is the other characters, some of the other characters that are involved in that, like Christian Slater and Julian Moore, they are more or less the bullies, if you were. Even though it's a college setting, there's still bullies out there. And what happens is Steve Buscemi's character is fed up with all this. He wants to get to college. He wants to get like the high accolades, and he wants to get his competition out of the way because those other characters are trying to get into the same position, same spot in the school that he wants. So what happens is Steve Buscemi finds inside of the mummy's tomb, the casket, excuse me, he finds a scroll. Now, he's actually able to read it and finds out that the scroll holds secret code for him to recite, a secret mantra. And what that will do is he'll give him control of the mummy so he can bring the mummy back to life to seek out his revenge. So Steve Buscemi finds it. He activates the mummy. The mummy goes on a killing spree. Classic mummy story. A lot of intense moments there. A lot of scary moments where the mummy pops out. Nothing too gory. You don't see a lot of gore in this one. But still, it's a great one nonetheless. Mummy keeps killing everybody. Slowly. But then it gets to a point where Steve Buscemi's character stops the mummy. He puts the mummy away and he leaves the school. Probably he got into another school or he transferred schools because everyone was figuring out that he was the reason for the deaths because he is summoning the mummy back to life. And as that story finishes, the boy looks at the witch and the witch seems interested in the story, but then continues prepping her meals by cutting carrots and onions and all the other stuff. So then the boy goes to his second story, which is one called The Cat from Hell. The Cat from Hell. Now, this is an awesome, awesome story. Now, this one is a little bloody, little violent. Now, this one involves cats. Hence the name of the story. Now, what happens in the stories? There's an old man who lives by himself. And what happens is he's been trying to kill this cat. Now, the cat won't die. That's the problem. So what he does is he hires a hitman to kill the cats. Now, the old man's played by William Hickey. Now, you might remember him from National Lampoon's A Christmas Story. He plays the great uncle that comes over to the house in another instance where he is involved with a cat. Now, what happens is this in the story. He hires the hitman. The hitman comes in. He doesn't understand the whole purpose of the reason why the cat must be killed. Hickey's character goes into telling him that the cat has killed the rest of his siblings, and he's the only one remaining. And he wants the cat dead. He doesn't want to deal with the cat anymore. And he pays the hitman a very handsome fee, a very handsome sum. So he gives the backstory of how the cat has killed all of his siblings. And then he himself is left the building. He left the building, leaving the hitman to deal with the cat. And the hitman thinks it's a joke. He's like, ah, this is way below me. I don't even need to do this. He comes to find out that it's not a simple task to do to kill this cat. Now, he pulls out all the stops, leaving food out, poisoning it, trying to shoot it, explosives, but nothing seems to work. Now, the hard, the little violent part about this is with the cat. Now, the cat, if you're a cat owner, you know the claws. The claws can rip and tear and shred. So that's what happens. The cat comes up and retaliates against the hitman, scratching him, cutting open different wounds on the hitman's body, and it gets bloody. It's a little bloody. Practical effects again, so it's not too bad, but still, for those of you squeamish, it might affect you a little bit. Then what happens is, towards the end of the night, the hitman finally corners the cat in the center of the hallway, of the, like the entrance of the house. Then what happens is the cat jumps on top of the hitman and crawls inside of him. Now, how does he do this, you may ask? The cat goes into the mouth of the hitman and starts to climb inside of him down into his stomach. and you see that the hitman's throat is expanding. It looks like a balloon. It's intense. But it's awesome nonetheless. So the cat's climbing in and kills the hitman. The next morning, the old man returns to see that the hitman's dead and the cat is nowhere to be found. Then all of a sudden, you see from on the floor in the stomach of the hitman, you see a bubble moving from the stomach all the way up through the throat to the mouth, and you see the cat covered with blood and guts starts climbing out of the hitman's mouth and does this. It's a puppet at this point. You could definitely tell it's a puppet, but then at this point, the cat gives out this horrific shriek. The old man yells, and the old man dies of a heart attack right there. So nobody got the money, and the old man still died regardless. And the cat lived on to fight another day. The boy finishes reading the story, looks at the witch. The witch is like about 75% ready to put the boy in the oven to cook him. And then the boy goes, "Oh, wait, there's one more story. It's a love story." And the witch is intrigued because the witch likes love stories. Now, this one, again, it's called Lover's Vow. This one is it's interesting. It's a great one. There's an artist in New York City, and what happens is he's working on his sculpting, working on all this stuff. And one night he's leaving his apartment and he meets this woman and falls in love with the woman. Now, what happens is the woman goes back with him to his room and they go on a couple of dates. Now, before that happens, the artist is out in the alleyway and sees somebody being attacked by this demon, a great demon with giant wings. And the demon kills, slashes, and maims his victim and flies away. But the artist was able to see what the demon looked like. And from memory, he draws an image and makes a sculpture of it, but puts it away forever. Because the demon finds him and tells him, "If you ever talk to anybody about this or ever mention this to anybody, I will kill you." Fair enough. The artist puts all of his work away and never mentions it again. Fast forward to the artist and his love interest. They've been living together. His artwork has been selling. He's opened in many art studios all across the city, and they have a family together. At that point, the artist says to himself, "I trust this woman. I gotta tell her about what I saw that night." So he goes to his wife and says, "Honey, you're not gonna believe this, but one night before we met, I saw this creature and it killed somebody. And I have to tell somebody about it." So he gets the sculpture of the demon, the gargoyle, and shows it to his wife. Then here he goes, folks. Spoilers. Putting spoilers out there. So if you don't want to hear what happens, don't listen. He shows his wife the sculpture of the gargoyle. The wife starts to cry. She gets very angry. And she said, "You promised me you would never tell anybody that you saw this." And you, as the audience, realize and see for yourself that his wife is the gargoyle demon. And also, their two kids that they have, are also gargoyle children. From there, his wife picks him up and he apologizes as much as he can. He said, "I'm sorry. Please just forget everything I told you." And she said, "It's too late. You promised me you'd never say anything and you broke that promise." And she kills him. They fly through the skyline and out into the night. Then the way the scene ends, there's a close-up zoom of a gargoyle sitting on top of a building with two little gargoyles, which are the wife and the kids. And it starts to zoom out, knowing that the artist is now dead and the gargoyles have returned to their original point from where they came from. The boy finishes the story. The witch has the oven open, ready to go. He starts to unlock the door, the cage, to go get the boy to put him into the oven. Then the boy realizes that he controls the story of how it's going to happen with the rest of his predicament. So then the boy says she dropped the keys and she trips and stumbles and falls onto a table, which everything he says happens. And then the boy pushes her into the oven and shuts the oven door and locks it. Just like in Hansel and Gretel, the witch is burned and cooked alive in the oven. And that's how this movie ends. Again, It's a great film. Only 93 minutes, so it's not too long of a watch. And again, you get three stories in this film, plus you have the subplot film filler section with the boy and the witch. My opinion, out of the three movies I mentioned between Tales of the Dark Side, Creepshow, and Twilight Zone for these anthology films, I'd say this is number two on the list. This would be in the middle of the three of them. Definitely a good watch. You could definitely find this on Amazon. You could buy, which I have my physical copy. Again, you could find that on Amazon. You can also find it streaming. It's streaming somewhere. So nowadays, everything is streaming. It's so easy to find a movie nowadays. Let's see, this one is located. Ah, here we go. Tales from the Dark Side is located. You can find it and watch it on AMC Plus, Paramount Plus, and you could buy it on Prime or Amazon Video, or you could buy a physical copy from them as well. So there you have it, everybody. Tales from the Dark Side, the movie. Definitely great, great story. A lot of fun. You definitely want to check it out if you haven't seen it yet. So all these stories come from the creative minds of Stephen King, Michael McDowell, George A. Romero, and Arthur Conan Doyle. All great, great storytellers, and all these stories come together to form this awesome film. Check it out. My recommendation, I give this 5 jack-o'-lanterns out of 10. 5 out of 10 jack-o'-lanterns, definitely for this one. Get some popcorn, turn the lights out, maybe put on a fireplace and check out this movie. A lot of fun. Good way to start the Halloween season. So there you have it, everybody. That brings this episode to a conclusion. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Again, sorry for the delay in these episodes. Life comes at you in many, many different curves and things like that. But I'm catching up. I'm getting back to getting to doing all these. Again, we're winding down towards Halloween. Got about 2 more weeks till the Halloween spooky season. I myself have seen some good movies too. I believe I'll be talking about one of them in one of the future podcasts within the next week or so. So a definite must listen, stick around and listen for that one. Enjoy it, folks. What kind of candy should I get for my movie tonight? I think tonight I'm gonna go with some dots. Those sound like a good treat to go with this movie. Dots and popcorn and maybe some hot apple cider. Sounds like a good way to watch this movie. Again, folks, that's Tales from the Dark Side, the movie. Definitely check it out. Again, thank you so much for joining us in this episode. Hope this episode gives you a little more insight, a little more information, and hopefully it'll make you want to watch this movie and then form your own opinion from it after you've seen it. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Again, my name's Nick. I like movies. We'll see you next time. Till then, happy Halloween. Enjoy the spooky season. Good night, good luck, and we'll see you at the video store. See you later, folks.